Edmund Sutton Show.
Let's go.
Heaven is at hand. Come get your healing. There's power in the kingdom. Heaven is at hand. Come get your healing. There's power in the kingdom.
The Edmund Sutton Show.
Ladies and gentlemen, this is Edrin Sutton, and you're tuning in right now to the Edrin Sutton Show. Can you hear that noise? That's I just can't believe it. This was not planned. This happened maybe about less than 24 hours ago. I don't know how we got here. Yes, I do. I know how we got here. It was the grace of God. It was his brilliance, his omniscience. He knew we were going to be here today, and I'm so thankful. So I guess I can say this is the official, the first episode of the Edrin Sutton Show. So I'm glad. This is what I want you to do. I want you to get all your friends, text them, share this with everyone else. But more than anything, hit the subscribe button right there at the bottom. We have a phenomenal show. And for the Edrin Sutton Show, we're talking all things kingdom, kingdom of God. And you're going to learn a lot. You're going to be inspired. You might cry. You might laugh. But we're here to give God glory. We have a phenomenal, phenomenal show. And we have a phenomenal guest. She's a little nervous. She got the call today as well. But we have here a dear, precious young lady. She's a member of our church. Sydney, how you doing, Sydney?
Hi, guys. I am good. How are you?
I'm doing good. How you feeling today?
Nervous a little bit.
But tell me, what you do today?
I went to work.
Went to work. Yeah. Okay. What do you do for a living?
I am a toddler teacher.
You teach toddlers?
Yes.
I'm praying for you. That's a hard job.
Yeah, it can be.
Hard job.
I feel like I understand them, though, so it's not as hard as people think.
Yeah, it really matters, like, people being good at what they do.
Yeah.
You know.
You have to have a heart for it.
Right. Yeah, you have to have a heart for it. You have to care for toddlers and know how to speak their language.
Yeah.
And that matters. I like toddlers, but in bits.
Yeah.
You know, like
you that. Like to keep them for a little bit, give them back to your parents.
Yeah, that's where I'm at. Love you. You know, I pastor the sending church. I will send your kids back to you. so that's what. Well, Sydney, you have an amazing testimony.
Yes, sir.
Before we get into this,
yes, sir.
Tell us about yourself, your background, your up. Just tell us a little bit about yourself.
Well, I was born and raised here in Wilmington, North Carolina. Leland, North Carolina.
Okay.
I am in a family full of women.
Family, strong women.
Strong, beautiful.
Shout out to Raquel.
Women.
Shout out to Nadia. Shout out to Wanda Poole. I say that respectfully. Shout out to her.
Yeah. I went to school here. I was a cheerleader. I actually got pregnant my senior year of high school, and my whole plan changed.
Wow.
And
how challenging was that for you?
It was very challenging. Yeah. Being 17 and pregnant.
And you're how old now?
I am 24.
24. You were 17 and pregnant in your senior year.
Yes, sir.
Wow.
I was about to walk the stage and found out I was pregnant. And I was on my way to A&T to be a teacher, but that didn't happen. God had another plan for me. I went to school still. I went to Cape Fear Community College. I tried nursing. I tried business. I tried so many things, and God brought me back to what I had planned in the first place, but even a bigger plan.
Yeah.
And he brought me back to teaching, just with toddlers.
Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. And they love you.
Yeah, those are my babies.
The kids love you.
Those are my children.
Yeah.
I look at them like my own. And when I had Sadia, I wanted 6 kids. So I wanted 5 more. And God gave me 14 more.
in the classroom.
Yeah. He gave me 14 more. Because like being a taller teacher, these are your children.
Yeah.
Like, you teach them, you nurture them, just like as if they came out of you.
Wow.
And so, yeah.
Wow. Tell me about your journey with the Lord, like church. And I mean, from, have you always been in the church? Have you always been saved? Tell us about that journey. Walk us through that journey.
Okay. So, I was raised in the church. Warner Temple was my first church.
Warner Temple, AME Zion Church, 620 Nixon Street, Wilmington, North Carolina.
Yes.
That's right.
Yes. Uh-huh. And then my pastor, at the time, Pastor Mays.
Pastor Mays.
Shout out to you, Pastor Mays.
That's Pops.
Yeah.
That's right.
We moved to New York. He started a church in New York. We went there. We came back. He started a church called the Love Factory. And I went there all the way up until my sophomore year in high school. Me and my mom and my sister, I feel like we always gone to the same church. It's like it keeps us connected. Yeah. And if anybody knows us, you know, like we're like this.
Yep.
And so it going to the same church keeps us like this.
Yeah.
And so we went through several different churches trying to find a pastor for us, yeah. Someone who would speak to us where we felt God. And we came across the Ascendant Church. The Ascendant Church came and it opened and we joined. My mom and my sister joined before I did. And I joined, I want to say 2021.
Okay.
I joined the Ascendant Church and then I got saved at the beginning of 2024, God took me through some things and he blessed me.
Yeah.
And then he made me realize I can take this all away from you. I started to forget him.
Mm.
And he said, I can take this all away and make you focus on me.
Mm.
And that's what he did. And I thank him for that.
You thank the Lord for taking things away from you.
Yes, sir. Yes. Yes, I do. 'Cause I didn't appreciate it. And I didn't appreciate him giving it to me. Mm. And this is me looking back on it. 'Cause that was a whole process. Like I was going through, God, why is this happening? And it was like hit after hit after hit after hit after hit.
Yeah.
And the Lord, he revealed to me, you got to focus on me. If you continue to focus on me, I'll give you more than what you want.
Yep.
But the more you don't focus on me, the more I'm going to take things. Mm. And that's what he did. And he put it on my heart. And it was like I was going to church and every sermon that you preached was like to me.
Hmm.
And you did a call at the end asking if anybody went to get saved. And at first I felt it, but I wasn't sure. And I was like, I don't know.
Yeah.
And then he was like, you might feel like got a little feeling in you like this is for me. Well, this is for you. And I was like, okay, yeah, that's definitely. And I got up and I got saved. And since then, God has been doing a very big work in me and on me.
Sydney, I've got to say this, and you know I don't say it here. Just on this platform, you know, I constantly tell you that I'm so proud of you.
Thank you.
I'm so proud of you. I see your walk. I see how you've grown. And, you know, sometimes, you know, planting a church, we planted this church in the beginning of COVID, in the thick of COVID.
Yeah.
And sometimes you're like, Lord, I know I did what you told me, but is what we're doing, does it matter? Does it really matter? But to see individuals like you growing and excelling in the things of God, it makes everything worth it. So I got to say again, proud of Sydney. Everybody say just proud of Sydney. Just give a clap and applause. Really proud of you. Really proud of you. And so this kind of brings us here. And there's going to be some questions when I say this. There's going to be some questions when I say this. Something happened. So we have an annual conference that we call Deploy. Deploy Conference. And my pastor, my bishop, Bishop Michael Blue. If you never heard of him, look him up.
Please go look him up.
He's God's man. He's God's man. And I'm honored to for him to be my pastor. But he gave you a word at Deploy. And we're not going to share that word now. We're going to play it at the end of the episode, what that word was. So it's going to make sense for people. It's a prophetic word. He was saying so many different aspects as young lady. He don't know you.
No.
Young lady. God is going to use you. You're God's leader, and he's going to deal with the heartbreak and all of that, and breakthrough is for you, and you're going to bring folk, you're going to bring folk to the saving knowledge of Christ. Something began to happen there from that day forth that you started sensing evil presence, correct?
I wasn't sure if it was evil presence. I just know that it was kind of like, I always describe it as a chill kind of, because you know, when you get a chill, your body goes.
Yep.
And so like when I would get full of the spirit, I would, my body would go like that.
Yeah.
And I didn't know that it was evil presence. I thought it was God.
Yeah.
And so I would just let it happen. And it was like, not every time I raised my hands, but sometimes when I raised my hands, or when I said, yes, God, or when I was like, that's good.
Yeah.
And it would just happen.
Yep. Yep. And then there'll be a manifestation. Now, some people are asking questions, and this is what I love. This is what this show is about. I'm going to move this. This is aggravate me. And I'm just a visual guy. many people are going to ask now, hold on now. How was evil spirits manifesting? But she said when she would feel the spirit or she was saved, they don't understand that. I want to share this with you and some others, that most of the time when we see a manifestation of spirits, most of the time most people think it always means possession. And that's not true. There is spirits of, let's start here, spirits of obsession, obsessive spirits. This is where temptations are thoughts. They're not your thoughts, but many people, not all, so I want you to hear me clearly, not all, but many people who deal with suicidal thoughts.
Yeah.
It's spirits of obsession. You're obsessing over this, certain other addictions that I know this is not right, but I can't get my mind.
Yeah.
Obsession. That's that. Oppression. Just spirits that oppress us. You know, it could be rejection, fear.
Yeah.
You get what I'm saying? Any believer can still deal with those, right?
Yes, sir.
Possession. Someone who is believed, who is a believer, cannot be possessed. Yeah. You cannot be possessed by God and possessed by demons or Satan himself.
Yeah.
And so I want to do that teaching because many of us think just because someone sees someone with another voice,
or
that means possession. That's not necessarily true. And so with you were dealing with spirits of obsession.
Yeah.
All right. And so tell me, I don't want to tell your story. How were some of those experiences before we start with the deliverance? And I want to tell the team, this is, what's today's date? This is September the 5th.
Yes, sir.
Okay. Her deliverance took place this week, maybe like 2 days ago. We don't know when this is going to air.
Yeah.
We wanted to go ahead and document this while it's fresh on our mind so we can tell you all the details. Were you afraid during that, just doing when you were, how did you feel?
I wasn't afraid because, like I told you, I thought it was God. And I was at the DePoy conference that night. Never met Bishop Blue before. Never had a conversation with him. I was going through a mental battle of being a follower of Christ and being of the world.
Oh boy.
And I was like going like this in my mind, 24/7, like this. And he said to me, God sees you walking on the right path, but it kind of feels like something is pulling you left.
Yep.
And he said, continue to walk the right path. And as you walk the right path, God is going to deliver you.
Yeah. Yep.
And that gave me complete clarity.
Mm.
It gave me complete clarity. I changed my lifestyle that night. Things that I had been trying to decide whether I was going to do or not, I started to do.
Yeah.
And I thank God. I thank God for that. Because it was a mental battle.
Yes, ma'am.
And so after the conference, I just thought that it was me feeling the Holy Spirit. It wasn't until August 24th when you preached about bearing fruits of the Spirit. And you did a prayer call and you said, if you would like to bear fruits of the Spirit, more fruits of the Spirit, we're going to pray. And you said, come up, let's pray. It was people in front of me that you were praying on. And I started praying. And the closer you got to me, the more I felt the Spirit. And as soon as you got to me, as soon as you rose your hand, I felt that chill again.
Yeah.
And I just started to surrender. Yeah. I said, yes, God. Yes, God. That then told me that it was God, but it wasn't fully God.
Yes, ma'am. Yep.
And I wasn't scared. It didn't scare me. I was just like, what was that?
Yep.
Like, I was curious, but I wasn't. No, I was very curious. And even like through all of this, because it happened again on August 31st.
Yep.
I was still curious. Like,
Yep.
What was that?
Yep.
Then it started happening more.
Yep.
And it just made me more curious. And it just made me run to God and just say, continue to do your work. Because that showed me that God is doing something in me.
Yes, ma'am.
God is doing something in me. And I've prayed and asked God to use me. I've asked God to cleanse me and to change me. To change my mind, and to change my spirit, and to change my heart, and focus it on nothing but Him.
Yes, ma'am.
And I did that, and in that mental battle, that's what I was doing. I was asking God to bring me closer to Him, to help me through this mental battle, remove it, and put my mind on You, put my heart on You.
Yeah.
And I got that clarity, and I got that.
I tell you, this is amazing. It's gonna get much better. It's gonna get much better, everybody. And some might still have this question. If she was getting closer to the Lord, if she was saved, she's grown in the Lord, and if Bishop Michael Blue was such a man of God, then why is when he gives her a word of prophecy, she starts manifesting spirits?
Because I made a choice.
You made a choice. But watch this. Watch this. I shared this, Sydney. You know, a bottle of water, let's say. Sydney, she's a vessel. She's a glass. That's a vessel. The more of the Holy Spirit, the more of God's word, more of God's presence that gets in that vessel, whatever's been on that bottom of that glass, it starts to rise up. And those spirits, you know, when you start talking about destiny, purpose, now they're aggravated because they know the time is coming up. Spirits always cry out before they come out. Somebody needs to put that in the chat. They always cry out before they come out. And that's what they knew their time was up.
Yeah.
Knew their time was up. So what is so significant for me? You know, I got my little notes. what is so significant for me is casting out evil spirits is not enough. It's nothing foreign for me and my wife. It's nothing foreign. We're used to that.
Yeah.
You had over 40 evil spirits.
Didn't know it.
And not just that. I Sydney, this is the honest truth. If someone told me, first of all, it took us 8 hours.
8 hours.
We did one day, 4 hours. Second day, 4 hours.
Yeah.
Took us 8 hours. And if someone would have told me, yeah, we was dealing with someone and it took us 8 hours, I would never tell them this. I would have been churchy in myself. I'm like, you ain't got no power then.
Yeah.
That's what I would have said. That's what I said. And it broke my heart. It made me angry. It made me sad that you had been dealing with some of these all your life. How did that make you feel knowing that many of them you've been dealing with for so long but didn't know it? How does that make you feel?
At first, it was a shock. I was in awe because I was dealing with things that I thought I've forgiven. I thought I let go. I thought it didn't affect me.
Yeah.
And so to know that they were still affecting me, to know that deep down they were still there and I didn't forgive them. And I didn't let it go.
Yeah, family members.
Yeah.
You know, some of the spirits, when we talked to them, has been there since you were 4 years old.
Yeah.
You know.
And I didn't even know it.
Didn't know it.
So it was, I was shocked. But once I processed it literally gave me clarity. It gave me clarity on, like, why things were the way that they were,
yeah.
Why things happened the way that they were, why I was the way that I was.
Yes, ma'am.
On situations where people would be like, "Sid, you ain't upset?" Or I'd be like, "No, like it's cool." Or like even like my mom and my sister can tell you, like, they would always ask me when like a situation happened or I said something to them and they would ask me, am I okay? And I would continuously say, I'm okay. I'm all right. And I genuinely thought that I was okay and I was all right.
Yeah.
And they didn't push it because they were like, she says she's okay. She's all right. But to know that like I wasn't okay. I wasn't. It's like, do you even know how you feel?
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
And it like, for me, I feel like it gives me a chance to really understand my feelings now.
Yeah. That's good. And what's amazing, Sydney, and I know the Lord is going to use you in a great way. And the people who know you, like know you in person, they would know if Sydney is talking about this, Sydney's not lying.
Yeah.
You know, like you have to know Sydney.
Yeah.
She's not making up anything. She's not lying. But so many people, they don't realize that certain things that happen in lives, trauma especially, spirits are attracted to trauma.
Yeah.
Trauma. And sometimes our own decisions. You know, sometimes we think certain things is just, it's okay for my child to watch this or to be around him. And hey, you just being too deep. Sometimes people don't have a clue.
Yeah.
They don't have a clue until they witness it. I wish your mother was here because she was shocked.
She's still in shock.
All right, let's go here. You good?
Yeah, I'm good.
Let's go here. I'm going to talk about kind of some of the things I saw.
Yeah.
And then we're going to go somewhere totally different about some of the spiritual things.
Okay.
You saw during the deliverance process.
Okay.
So on the first night, Sydney. So I don't know if it was your mother who called me, who need help. And so what we said, let's go to the church.
Yeah.
We're going to go to the church. Me, you, my wife. My wife, that's my life. That's my partner. You
yeah.
Know. Me, my wife, you, and your mother.
Yeah.
So, and one of the reasons is a lot of times people cast out spirits in church, and that's good. We've done that. I mean, there's been purge. We do that.
Yeah.
But always remember, for those of you who are watching, the devil loves to be glorified. And I want to say that this is not what this is about. We are not giving any glory to the devil. He gets no credit.
No credit.
He's a defeated foe. But sometimes you have to remove the audit. You ever seen somebody, a child or anyone, they blah, 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 because they got an audience.
Yeah. Showing out.
Yeah, they showing out. Oh, you got everybody looking at you. Yeah. You want to show out. That's how the enemy is. He'll have people rolling all over the floor. So people can be like, he likes glory.
Yeah.
So sometimes the best thing is to do things in private. And for the dignity of the person who's dealing with it. You yeah. see what I'm coming from? We got to dignify people. We show too much on these church cameras at time. Everybody want to go viral.
Yeah.
You know? And so there was a manifestation, voice changing. Do you remember anything like that, your voice changing?
Some of it.
Yeah.
Some of it I remember, my voice changing, and it was kind of like it tried to take over my mind.
Yeah.
And so when it was speaking, it wasn't me speaking, but in my head, I was like, I denounce you.
Yeah.
I renounce you.
Yeah.
You gotta go. You yeah. can't stay here. But it just wasn't coming out.
Yeah.
The spirit was coming. Yeah. That was not me.
And boy, when your mother saw, your mother never saw that part. She never saw that part. I'm laughing now. When your mother saw, I said, calm down, yeah. it's all. But she never, she know her daughter's not playing.
Yeah.
You know, this has taken her to a whole nother level.
Oh yeah, for sure. For sure.
And so, the growling and I don't know if you remember the false tongues. You know,
I think I remember that, but I don't remember the whole thing. Like, I remember bits and pieces of them, but I don't remember all
yeah,
of it.
Yeah, the spirit start. So it's a lot, but again, for the deliverance to happen that long, so many spirits. But then some of the names of the spirits. I'm not even gonna call the names, but there were certain spirits that would manifest. I tell you, one was this was something. So a lot of times during deliverance, you cast out the spirit, but every spirit you don't cast out the same way. Yeah. It's almost like there's an art to it, there's a science to it.
Yeah.
You have to discern what the spirit is, discern how to handle this spirit. But there are times, because we're human, you don't discern.
Yeah.
You're like, Lord, I don't know. You ask questions.
Yeah.
Who are you? I never forget the first one. I said, what is your name? And I can't remember the name. Cynthia.
Oh yeah.
I'm like, what in the world? Who is Cynthia? And then the spirit said, I'm her guardian. And I'm mad. Because, you know, in the inside, I'm like, you lying. Yeah. God's her girl. I'm mad.
Yeah.
And so we cast out that spirit.
Mm-hmm.
So after we did that, then we ask you questions. All right, Cindy, what's going on? Who is that? Come to find out, you would call yourself Cynthia when you would be angry.
Yeah. I got that from a longtime friend. She was my friend in middle school and high school. And it's not often that I get upset or angry. And so when I do get angry, it would be like a hurricane. It'd be awful. And that's what she named it. And I just went along with it.
You accepted that identity.
Yeah.
And you get, and it made more sense when it says, I'm her guardian. You would come into that. You never knew it was a spirit. You would identify that to guard yourself, to protect yourself.
Yeah.
That was powerful. That was powerful. And it helps other folk to know when they hear this kind of story, you know, you don't have an alter. Was it an alter ego?
No.
You better reject that.
Yeah.
You know? Then there was another one called, Kiddo.
Yeah. And I got the name in high school.
Got the name in high school. And I guess that's the one who probably doesn't take things seriously. A joke, I'm assuming.
Yeah. I was always the youngest one of my friends. And I didn't have many friends. And so the small group of friends that I had were seniors. And they would call me Kiddo. And we would just laugh and we would just cut up all the time. And then eventually that became my nickname. And even like freshmen coming in, they'll say, what's up, kid? I had it on my cheer bag. I had it on my headband, on my cheer jacket. Like, that was my nickname.
Mm.
But I never knew the identity that I was taking with it.
Yeah. That's deep. I remember one spirit revealed that they came in your freshman year of high school. I remember that. And if I remember correctly, it said she didn't have any friends.
I was bullied. I was bullied hard. And not to the point where like anybody touched me physically, but calling people names is a form of bullying.
Yes.
Telling people not to talk to this person is a form of bullying.
Yeah.
Going to that person's coach to get them kicked off the team is a form of bullying. So you don't have to be physical or take any physical.
That's right.
To be a bully or to be bullied.
That's right.
I want people to understand that.
That's right.
And for a while there, I didn't have friends. People that I thought were my friends, they want to be a part of the crew. They want to get along with other people. So I had a small group of friends, very small, and we didn't talk as much as like I would talk to my friends before I got into high school. So I was just very lonely. And like, I felt like I was going through everything by myself. And at one point I even asked my mom, could I live with my sister and my brother-in-law? Could I live with them and stay with them during the week so that I can go to another school? Because it was just that bad. And I didn't realize it, but what I thought was me finding a friend within myself,
yeah,
a spirit formed,
yeah,
and gave me that friend.
Yeah. I mean, matter of fact, you reminded me, that spirit told me I'm her friend. And I'm like, I'm rebuke you, liar. You da 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 da. If you were his friend, you wouldn't be tormenting her. Da 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 da. Rebuke it, cast it out. That was quite an experience. And then so many of those spirits, they came by way of trauma.
Yeah.
Came by way of certain family rejection. Certain family rejection, abandonment. We really have to be mindful of just the impact that we have on our relatives, our children.
Yeah.
You know, how we treat people. That has a big effect.
And we also need to be mindful of how we are treated. Because I didn't realize me being treated that way had such a big effect on me. I brushed it off. I'm good. I'm okay. And I didn't really sit in that and really process it. I just took it for what it was, and that's what it was.
Yeah.
But I would always go by, someone show you their true colors, believe them. Wow. And I didn't realize that's true, but also process it. Acknowledge your feelings. Deal with your feelings. Heal from your feelings. And then you can move on.
That's good. That's good. That's good. Acknowledge your feelings. Heal. Take time to heal from your feelings so you can move on. That's powerful. That's I tell you, too, we're not dealing with all the graphic stuff. Again, we're not glorifying the devil. You all can just imagine that process. But I tell those spirits to tell on you. We won't call the person's name. One spirit said, where you come from? Came from old boy.
Yeah. Like,
oh. That's how it said it. That's how we won't call the name. And then it told us the name. This was somebody you was on and off. And sometimes people think that is a joke. But what you open your life to, relational wise, sexual relationships, it can have, there's always an exchange.
Yeah.
More than bodily fluids.
Yeah.
When you engage in sexual intercourse.
Yeah. And I feel like the generation I was raised in, it was like this generation, it like sex isn't as important. It's not as intimate. It's kind of like,
it's not sacred.
Yeah, it's not sacred. It's like, you do whatever. Like, nobody cares. And so that was my mindset. But then as I grew closer to God, it became more sacred. And it was like, I'm not feeling this. I don't think so. But I didn't realize how this spirit, like spirits exchange. And now that I know it, it just makes it all the more sacred. And that it is a big deal.
Yep, it's a big deal.
And you may feel like you're not creating soul ties, but you're creating soul ties.
Yes, ma'am. Yes, ma'am.
With every person.
Yes, ma'am.
Not just the one you were dealing with for years or the one you really like. With whoever you do it with,
that's
you
right.
are creating that's soul good. Ties.
That's true. That's true. That's true. Somebody really needs to hear that. Again, to know Sydney, she's not she's not faking. You got to know Sydney. She's not faking today. She's not faking. And going back, I forgot how you actually said it, but how things transmit, not just with sex. We're going to leave out certain details to cover people at this moment, right? But after the first day, things happened. There were people who prayed for you.
Yeah.
Started purging, da-da-da-da-da-da-da, right? The second night we had our deliverance. All right? There was one spirit. This one was a challenge. I knew it was like, you know, arm wrestle when you've got the arm down, but it's not pinned.
Yeah.
I knew that spirit said, okay, I got authority. I can tell he's down. Why won't it go to the ground? Hey, why aren't you not leaving? Whatever. But one spirit said, I'm going to say Mr. So-and-so. Mr. So-and-so who prayed for her thought they casted it out. But I came from Mr. So-and-so.
Yeah. And it said that it came to me to laugh back at so-and-so. And they thought, you think you're gonna laugh at me. I'm gonna show you.
Yeah, I'm laughing at. And so I told the spirit, "Hey, you gotta be careful. Don't combat spirits in your flesh. You have to be careful with that.
Yeah.
Because once you start getting on their territory and you start strutting, let me stay here for a minute, yeah. Sydney. Once you start casting out a couple of spirits, you start feeling yourself. And I want to tell people, those of you who are believers, who are saved, it's not because of your name. Mm-mm. Never forget that.
No.
It's always because you've come in the name of Jesus Christ.
Yeah.
So don't let those spirits do that to you. However, once he said so-and-so thought they had the last laugh, I said, it's all right. Jesus got the last laugh. Come out.
Yeah.
You know, you get angry. Oh, you think you did something.
Oh, you thought you ate.
Yeah. You know what I'm saying? So that was a root awakening. That's why we tell people at our church, if I'm ministering to someone, don't lay hands on someone unless I tell you to.
Yeah.
There'll be some folk who don't have an inch of the power of the Holy Ghost. They always be quick to want to lay hands.
Yeah.
That thing is serious.
It's serious.
So we need to be mindful of that.
Yeah.
And there were so many more, but I don't want to go into all those details. There was something else that I want you to really share with us. I want you to take your time as much, because there was so much that was going on. You were conscious during the deliverance. And I've never heard of anyone talk about this. You had certain encounters. Like, I asked you, could you hear us? And you was like, yeah, but a lot of times we were muffled.
Yeah.
But you had an encounter with God, Jesus Christ.
Yes, sir.
Now, I watch. You don't even watch stuff. I say, have you ever seen stuff like this on TV? And you're like, no, what are you talking about? I watch stuff with people who claim they've seen Jesus and da 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 da. That's not you. You're new to all of this.
Yeah.
Can you tell me about that whole experience? Why are you getting delivered? Just talk.
Okay.
And I'm going to say it. Some of it might sound weird. Oh, well, just sound weird to you. Yeah. Go ahead.
First, before I speak, I just want to ask God to help me share my experience, because without him, yes, it wouldn't have happened.
Yes, ma'am.
And I believe he let it happen for a reason. So ask God, Lord, will you give me the words to say so that your will may be done? Use me, Lord.
Use her, Lord.
To reach other people.
Yes, Lord.
Amen.
Amen.
My experience during the deliverance. See, the first night, I didn't see anything.
Oh, why? I didn't know that.
Yeah, so the first night I didn't see anything at all.
So you'll know this, and so others know this. The first night, casting out the spirits was much easier.
Yeah.
It was much easier. The second night, it was like, man.
They stubborn.
It's strong.
Yeah.
Much stronger. Quicker. I just had to throw that in there.
The second night, when we first started, it was like veins. And I told you, it was like a jungle. But it wasn't like a regular jungle, like with trees and leaves and stuff like that. No, it was veins. And they were like all like crossed and everywhere. And I had to like go through it. And I really believed that I was in my belly. Just because of the shape of it and what I saw.
Yeah.
And so there were times where God gave me a sword and he had me cut at the roots. And there were other times where, 'cause like you said, we did this for 8 hours, 4 hours the night before. I got up that night, I got up that morning and I went to work.
Yeah.
And we were back at it again.
Yeah.
So I was not only tired, but I felt weak.
Yep.
And so through that, it was times where I was like, God, where is it at? Like, I need to cut it at the root, but I can't find the root. Where is it at?
Yeah.
And like, I was like stopping. I could see myself. Yeah. I like full body, how I am now.
You could see it.
I could see it.
Yeah.
And I could hear him say, over there, come over here, cut like this. And then it was like the scene changed. And the more we got out, the scene changed. And there were less. And so it was just black. And it was what I thought was empty. And there were like humps like this around the line of my belly. And every time you recognize a spirit, that's when it revealed itself to me.
So every time I said something out loud.
Yeah. So like, it was like, that's not Sydney. I'm not talking to Sydney. Who are you? That's when it revealed itself to me and I could see its face. It was kind of like it was hiding in those humps. Hmm. It was hiding. And when you recognized it, it popped out. Face and all.
Hmm.
And as you guys prayed, I was praying on the inside. And God was giving me like different tools to fight with. Like he gave me a sword. He gave me a shovel. Cause it was some that were so deeply rooted inside me that just cutting it wouldn't do the job. I needed to actually dig down, and like, it was like I was in there gardening, like I stomping on the shovel and stuff and just digging.
Yeah.
And then like I had to pull, I had to keep pulling the root out.
Yeah.
And then I had to like push it up.
Yep.
And keep pushing and pushing.
Yep.
And pushing. And then like sometimes they would get connected to the humps, which were the roots.
Yeah.
So they would get connected to them up here.
Yeah.
And I would have to go up there and cut.
Yep.
Can I
testify?
Yeah.
See, even doing the deliverance, I knew, like I said, I knew the arm was down, but there was a hindrance. Why won't it go to the ground? And I could tell every time I say, now you're coming out, the spirit would open the mouth, go over the trash can. And I discerned it was right here.
Yeah.
There were times I would put my hand on your throat.
Yeah.
But I didn't actually know that you had that knowing within yourself that's what was going on. That's what was amazing to me to hear that from you.
Yeah. It was like stuck right here. And I was like cutting at the roots with my sword. Or like sometimes I was punching. And other times I was kicking. And I got to a point where I was weak. And I was on my knees. And I just asked God to help me. Help me, Lord. I cannot do this without you. I need your help. I feel weak. I feel defeated. I need you, Lord. And God literally wrapped his arms around me like this, leaned me on him. So I'm leaning on him like this. And he said, use your feet. And I used my feet to kick and fight that way. And
Jesus.
Thank you, Lord.
Jesus.
Thank you, God.
Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father.
As I kept as we kept going through, we was going through war. As we were going through war, he was helping me. Like, to the point where there was one where, there were a couple where he lit my sword on fire.
Who, when you say he, you mean God?
God. Uh-huh. Yeah, God lit my sword on fire. And that helped me. Or there was times, like, there was one where God gave me a big old pot.
And I remember this.
He had me, he said, push up as far as you can, and then seal it. That didn't work, and I felt defeated. And I was at that point so weak. Like, I think we were, like, towards the end. And I was down bad. And God put up a wall so that it couldn't, because it kept coming back.
So, Saints, y'all had to have been there. I don't forget. This time, I'm talking to a demon the whole time. Face is changed. Eyes are changed. And this devil, it seemed like I was casting this out, trying to, for at least an hour. And it seemed like I said, okay, I saw some purging. It's the same one. Same one. The honest truth. So that's the one I asked. Why haven't you left yet?
Yeah.
Now, one of the things, I don't remember what he said. I can't really remember what he said, but I remember this. He said, but there's a wall that's been put up, and he couldn't do something because I started rejoicing on the inside.
Yeah.
So for her to say that, it's like, wow, what the evil spirit was saying, he saw a wall, is the same thing you saw within yourself.
Yeah. I saw that wall be put up. God was there coaching me. Like, you're on a team and you feel defeated, or you're going against your biggest rival and your coach out in your face. And he's like, you got this. Like, get up. You strong. You are my child.
Yes.
He literally, at one point, he opened my back and poured the Holy Spirit into me, closed my back up, and it was like I got up.
And for context, because you told me this, it was like you had more energy.
Yeah.
As he did
to fight. It was like he was fueling me up.
Yeah. Now tell me this. You said something. We changed. So when you cast out spirits, friends, you cast them out. Pray to God. But someone has to speak to the spirit. So it got so challenging for us. I just said, God, I'm casting this thing. It's everything I tell to do is doing, but it won't all the way leave. So I started to pray, God, help your child. Help your child. What happened when we said that? And if you can't recall, it's okay. But we were praying, God, help your child. And I believe you said he helped me.
He helped me.
Yeah.
He fought beside me. He said, you said, God, help your child. She needs you. She needs your help right now. And he literally got me up off the floor. And he moved the wall. And he helped me fight. Jeez. Side by side. And he helped me all the way up until it came out.
Jesus. Holy Father. Holy Father. That's when we prayed. We prayed, help your child. And he helped. Saints. Oh, God. I could cry. I'm not going to cry. See, oftentimes we think that our prayers is just, sometimes the devil will make you think your prayers are not doing anything. When we ask God to help your child, God came and he fought beside her.
Yeah.
He didn't even fight the battle for her.
No.
See, the whole time, he was teaching you.
Yeah. Yeah, he was teaching me that because I didn't realize how strong I was. And he was teaching me that I'm stronger than I think. And like, because he wasn't there the whole, he was there the whole time, but he wasn't there the whole time.
He didn't show himself. He didn't reveal himself.
He would like, just give me, show me his voice, reveal his voice to me. And, or it was like, you got it. Like, you don't need me. You don't need me. You got it. And then there were times where he did reveal himself to me. And he was like, Sid, you got to get up. You got it. You got this. You are my child. You will not be defeated by this thing. You have it in you. Get up. Get up.
That's amazing. It's what's interesting too. It seems like there was a correlation of what was happening in the natural, so to speak, and in the spirit, because there were times when I do deliverance, I never simply cast out. I always tell the individual who's being demonized, you've got to help us fight.
Yeah.
And so there were times during the deliverance, I'll say, all right, Sydney, come on, fight there. Fight. And it seems as if that's the same thing.
Yeah.
that Christ was telling you, you got to fight.
It was.
You got. And even the thing about the roots. So while we're, you know, and that second night, your sister was there.
Yeah.
Too. I'm talking about we cut you from the roots. I'm saying that.
Yeah.
Out loud, because I can tell the resistance was, many of them have been there so long.
Yeah.
It's almost like there were hooks. You get what I'm saying? Yes, there were hooks on the inside of you.
Yes, sir.
But my challenge was, Sydney, I'm like, I've got authority. I'm telling, we in the spirit, we cut you from the root. Not realizing it's not what's wrong with my voice. It's that now Sydney has to cut it from the root. My God, have mercy.
Yeah.
Lord.
Like when you were saying that, and even times where you were saying, Sydney, we need you to fight. And I believe a couple of times I just wasn't saying anything. I wasn't moving. I heard you and I was fighting, but it was like I was in the middle of a swore fight. Like, wow. I was going at it, or like I was crying out to God, asking for help. Or I was trying to figure out why you not leaving? I'm fighting. I'm in here fighting. Why you not leaving? And I had to, it was like it would start to connect. Like some of them started to connect to other roots.
Oh, wow. Really?
Yeah. And so I had to go and cut that root and go through a fight, or take my shovel, get my shovel. And it was like God was throwing me these things. Like I was like,
He was my giving shovel, you the tools.
And he was throwing it to me.
He was giving.
Yeah.
And I want to give you this scripture. This is what he was doing, actually. This is the book of Psalms, 144, verse 1. Blessed be the Lord, my strength, which teacheth my hands to war and my fingers for battle. That comes from, that's David writing that. That the Lord teaches my hands, he teaches my hands to war and my fingers to fight. That's what the Lord was doing for you.
Yeah.
He was you had 101 spiritual warfare training with God by himself. God, that's powerful.
Yeah.
That's powerful. Now here's the question everybody wants to know. I'm telling you right now what they're asking. They want to know, what he looked like. What he looked like.
God is tan. If you look up the word tan, he is that. He has beautiful brown hair, and it's thick. If you know, like, the black woman fro, it's as thick as a black woman's fro, but it's not curly. It's straight with a nice curl at the end. He is, like, kind of, like, flipped up. But it's just as long as my hair here. I'm not going to take my hair out.
You got, she got long hair.
About right here,
mm-hmm.
and his hair is just as long.
Mm.
And he had on his white robe, and it's the whitest thing I've ever seen in my life. It's so bright. It's so bright. And yes, he does wear Jesus sandals. He does.
You said something too. You said he was beautiful.
He is. He's flawless. He's flawless. Not a pimple, not a scratch. He glows. And he glows. Like I told you guys, the scenes changed and it was dark. Jesus was my only light in there. It was kind of like I had night vision because I could see, but it was dark. The only light in there was Jesus. And he is beautiful. Jesus. He's the most beautiful thing I've ever seen.
Wow. Wow. You wouldn't know that, though. You wouldn't know to describe him like that. And people don't know you. Some people will suggest she's lying. She's making up something. But I know you. And that's what I knew we had to document this. Number one, we didn't want certain things to be altered memories because it took so. We wanted to go ahead and document.
Yeah.
But I know you're telling the truth. And you need to know that everyone does not have that privilege to see Jesus. To see Jesus.
I've been thanking him for allowing me to see him. Ever since, I'm still in awe because it's literally the most beautiful thing I've ever seen. No sunset, no dress, no human can amount to the beauty that Jesus has. And he's absolutely beautiful. Mm. And he has such a beautiful, like, soft touch. He's so gentle. Even when he was getting on me, he's so gentle.
Yeah.
So gentle.
Yeah. That's beautiful. We didn't, it's really our time to close this. We didn't talk about all the different spirits. We didn't want to do that again. We're not here to glorify the works of the enemy. We came to glorify God.
Yes, sir.
But what has this, how has this encounter and this whole deliver everything, how has it changed your walk with the Lord? How has it impacted your life?
First, I would say just hearing his voice, not even seeing him, but to hear his voice is something that I've been asking and trying to discern for years. I wanted to hear him and speak to him because, you know, you guys have given me, you and other prophets have given me words from God, but I wanted to speak to him and hear him myself.
Yeah.
And this experience allowed me to know that he's been here the whole time.
He was talking to you the whole time.
The entire time. Yeah. He was here. And I just didn't know it.
Yeah.
I just didn't. I was. And that impacted everything that I do now. Because he talked to me constantly. I just didn't know it was him.
Yes, ma'am.
I thought it was me. I thought it was my mind. I thought I was having this heavily on my mind.
Yeah.
No. He was, Jesus was speaking to me.
Yes. Yes. Yes.
And it's impacted my life because it in a way where it helped me understand why he made me the way that I am, the characteristics that I have, why he gave them to me.
Yeah.
I'm still understanding because it just recently happened.
It just happened again. Yeah. You all are watching this. We don't know what day you all are watching this. Right now it's September 5th.
Yeah.
You were delivered, fully delivered from over 40 evil spirits.
Yeah.
September the 3rd. September the 3rd, between September 2nd and September the 3rd. So this is fresh for
yeah,
you.
Yeah, very fresh. So I'm still learning, but it definitely, right now, I know this won't be forever.
Hallelujah.
I know it won't be forever, but in the right now, he's put me in a place of isolation.
Yes, ma'am. Yes, ma'am.
To learn him, to... for his voice to get stronger.
Yes.
Because right now I hear him, but it's soft.
Yes, ma'am.
And it's still kind of hard for me to discern, like, is this the voice in my head?
Yes, ma'am.
Or is this Jesus?
Yes, ma'am.
But I know that it will get stronger.
It will.
As I continue to read my word.
Yes. Yes.
As I continue to walk that right path.
Yes.
It will get stronger.
Absolutely.
And it won't take nothing for me to discern.
Yes, ma'am. Absolutely. That your key, you said it. I'm proud of you. The key now is now to be full of the word. You're already full of the Holy Spirit. Now get full of God's word, full of prayer, and make sure that our walk is in step with his will. That's what's crucial now.
Yes,
you don't need any distractions. You're in a place where God is, he's doing something. I'm telling you, this one video is going to impact people's lives. There's so many who's going to watch who know you. And for those who know you, they're going to know that what you're saying, you're not, you know, one spirit came in. It said the year. It's the year that your grandmother died.
Yeah.
How you were heartbroken. All of these different things that cause trauma.
Yeah.
You see what I'm saying?
Yes, sir.
God is going to use you. And I'm so proud of you. I'm telling you, I'm proud of you. I'm proud
Thank
of you.
You.
I'm so proud of you. One of the reasons I'm proud of you too, during the deliverance, especially that second night, it was, we were sweating.
Still sweat it out.
Yeah. And once you get delivered, I want to make sure that we're not hurting you because your body goes through so much. And I said, you know, you want to go home? You want to go another round? He's like, oh, I'm ready, whatever it takes. I'm proud of you. You had that kind of tenacity, that fighting spirit. God's going to use that same spirit. Oh, we almost forgot. You left the deliverance, fully delivered. I know one of our producers in there says time's up. We've got about 3 more minutes, producer. We almost But I remember you felt, you know, you were free from them, but you still felt vulnerable. You said with your word, wounds. I want you to tell us about that and then tell us what happened.
I still felt like I was cut open, like I was on a surgeon's table and I was cut down the middle, open. I explained to my mama, because she asked me, was I going to go to work the next day? And I told her that, you know, when you cut your finger and you get it, you put it in something and you're like, that stings. That's what had happened to me. And so I wanted to take the day so that I can get wrapped up, so that when I dip it in anything, it doesn't sting because I'm wrapped up.
Yeah.
And so I took the day, and before I went to sleep, I asked God to heal my wounds. And he sent angels, beautiful angels, gentle angels, to heal me. And it was like, I was laying like this and I was on clouds, and these angels.
This was a dream, correct?
Yeah.
Yeah, this was a dream that happened.
Yeah, this was a dream.
Yeah, but it was real though.
Yeah, it was definitely real. I was definitely there, but it was during my dream, and I was laying on the clouds, and the angels were multiple of them were just wrapping my wounds and just healing my wounds and just taking care of my wounds. And I woke up and I felt healed. I felt no longer vulnerable. Yes, Lord. Like, it was like God stitched me back up.
Yes, Lord.
Because he is the surgeon.
Yes, Lord.
So he just stitched me back up.
Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. God is faithful.
He is.
God is faithful. Before we leave today, is there anything else you would like to share to the viewing audience? Anything?
Be careful on what you hold on to, on what you encounter and you look over, and be prayerful. Pray all day. Every day. Yeah. You leave a room, pray. You enter another room, pray.
Pray without ceasing.
Yeah.
That's what the Bible says.
Yeah, pray without ceasing. You trying to make a choice, pray. Like anything, pray. Because spirits are real. And the devil is just as real as God. And he coming for you as long as you are a believer in God.
That's right. That's right. Friends, you all heard it here. What a powerful testimony from one of the daughters of our church. Again, we're so proud of her. And it's a true story. We fought with her for 8 hours. 8 hours. And you can only imagine all of the details that we have not given you the details intentionally. The gruesome details. We'd rather give you the glorious details.
Yeah.
But if there's even anyone who's watching that you're dealing with any kind of torment of any kind, fear, affliction, you call upon all who call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. That's not just talking about the saving of your spirit, salvation. That's talking about any form of deliverance. If you call upon the name of the Lord, you shall be delivered. So, Father, I thank you, Lord, for this episode, this inaugural episode of the Edrin Sutton Show. I pray that this blesses all the hearers. I pray, Lord, that this helps parents make decisions, be more conscious in regards to Halloween, certain cartoons, certain movies, certain people who comes over. And not just that, all of our lives, how we walk, how we live. Father, we even confess our sins now. Yes, Lord. For you said in your word, if we confess our sins, you are faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us of all unrighteousness. We give your name the glory. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Hey, friends. You saw it. You heard it here on the first episode of the Edrin Sutton Show. I want you to tune in next time, whenever next time will be. So, holla back at your boy. Peace.
Edrin Sutton Show.
Get. Let's go.
Heaven is at hand.
Get.
Come get your healing.
Get.
There's power in the kingdom.
Get.
Heaven is at hand. Come get your healing. There's power in the kingdom.
The Edrin Sutton Show.
Ooh.